Good morning, everyone. I'm Josiah. I'm so glad to be able to bring the word to you this morning. So today, we're going to be in the book of Matthew. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. So often, we get caught up in the things that are around us, in our culture, our lives. We become so busy. We worry about just random different things of what we're going to eat each day, what we're going to do, what's going to happen. A lot of unpredictable things that we can't keep track of. Sometimes we hyperfixate on things. I hyperfixate on quite a few different hobbies that I sometimes rotate through. It drives my wife crazy. But sometimes we have these things that we focus on or that we prioritize, and we tend to, shift our focus from where it should be. In the passage that Pat read, specifically in Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us not to worry about food, drink, or clothing, but instead says, seek first the kingdom of God. So with Matthew 6, it can be easy to get caught up on just the different parts of the verses of, it says don't worry. You tell someone not to worry, they're going to worry. It's so hard not to. But what I want to focus on today is the main point that it's getting at is seek first the kingdom of God. And in order to tackle that, we need to look at probably first, what does it mean to seek first? And then also, what is the kingdom of God? In youth group, we've been going over just the last several weeks about the kingdom of God is like, and we've been going through the parables of what Jesus says the kingdom is like. So I'm going to bring some of those together and so to help explain what the kingdom of God is like. So so another important thing is what Jesus stressed in his ministry as well. After Jesus rose from the dead in Acts 1:03, thank you, I need to grab my slides. It's in Acts 1:3. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So after Jesus' death and resurrection, when he came back to his disciples and his followers and was teaching them and showing them that he was in fact alive, over 40 days, he talked to them about the kingdom of God and continued to speak that and preach that to them. So some of the things we're going to cover today is, what does it mean to seek? What is the kingdom? Why should we prioritize it? And how do we live that out? So, what does it mean to seek? To seek is to pursue intentionally and prioritize and order your life around something. It is choosing God's reign above our own desires, fears, and distractions. It is an active action and an outward action. So it involves making the kingdom a priority. How many of us have lost their phones before? I'm not seeing enough hands. I must be very clumsy. Yeah, when we lose our phone, we look everywhere for it. We have someone call it, like, hey, Josh, can you call my phone? I can't find it. You look around, but eventually if you can't find it, it's like, well, it'll turn off at some point. Maybe you might not want to admit this, but how many of you have lost your child somewhere? Yeah. Just as Matthias is walking now, and just even within the house, he'll just disappear, and it's like, oh, no, where is he? We need to find him right away, make sure he's safe. But there's a different level to the urgency for seeking after our child when they're missing compared to something else or our phone. Because you can't just say, oh, they'll turn up eventually. You need to find them. So there's this kind of urgency that's with it. That's the type of seeking that it is. It's intentional. It's going after it. It's not just being passive. But it's seeking with the purpose to find it. So we're going to, before looking too far into the priority of the kingdom, let's look a little more about what is the kingdom. So in Matthew 13, it should be page 794 in your pew Bibles. So we'll be back and forth quite a bit in Matthew today, in 13. So we're looking at, we looked at seek first the kingdom. There's a picture for lost child. But so Matthew 13, there's seven different parables about the kingdom of heaven is like. And we're only going to touch on several of those, about four today. But the first two give us a good glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven is like as a whole. And that's with the parable of the sower. So I'll give a little summary of what it is. There's a good graphic to follow along. So there's a farmer, and he went out into the field to sow seeds. So he's spreading the seeds everywhere. It doesn't matter where it's going. He's just giving out the seeds. And then there's different scenarios that happen for each seed. There's the seeds that fall on the path. So the ones that fell on the path, the birds came and they ate them up. The ones that fall on the rocks or the shallow ground, they grew quickly, but then because they weren't rooted and they weren't deep into the ground, when the sun came out, they scorched and were destroyed. And then the ones among the thorns. Our garden, when we set it up for watering, it watered everything. We didn't specialize where it was watering. So the weeds, they grew up so fast, and we couldn't even keep up with weeding. But they started to choke out some of our plants that we were growing. But yeah, so the weeds, they'll choke it out. But then there's the ones that fell on the good soil. And then they grew produced crops, and they grew 30, 60 to 100 times of what they were. So Jesus speaks a lot in parables. A parable is a story or an illustration that gives a moral meaning or a theological or a spiritual message behind it. So Jesus, he spoke often in parables. It fulfilled prophecies, and there's a lot I could go into that. But the disciples were a bit confused. They're like, okay, just tell us what it means, God. Tell us what it means, Jesus. And so he broke it down for them. And so 18 through 23 said, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocks and the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed that falls on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word of the Lord and they understand it. And this is the one who produces crops, yielding the hundreds to 60 to 30 times what is sown." So we're looking at what is the kingdom then? So where does it begin? It begins with the heart and the word. So when we hear the word, we can choose. It's how we react to it with our heart. It's, are we going to accept it or are we going to reject it? Or will other things become more of a priority to us? So, more on the kingdom. It is God ruling in his people who respond to the word. So the kingdom, it's God working through us as we respond to the word and live that out. That is part of the kingdom. If someone rejects the message and rejects God, then they're going to miss out on the gifts and the calling that God has for them. Jesus shows that we respond to the kingdom or reject it. There's no neutral ground. The kingdom grows only in receptive hearts. So there's constantly, when they hear the word, if they're not receptive to it, they're not going to receive it. But it's God and the Spirit that works through them in order to be ready and to be prepared to receive it and to understand what God is saying. For the person that responds with joy, it's when you have someone that's, oh, this is amazing, but then something happens in their life or their friends challenge them. You're like, oh, I don't really think that's amazing. Or they challenge them and it's like, oh, I don't really know. But instead of going deeper into the word and what God says, they choose to just kind of fizzle out or turn away from it or just not engage more in what God says. And then for the weeds that choke out, it's that the kingdom, it doesn't disappear just because someone ignores it or leaves it, but it just never took root in their lives. And yeah, so the key point that we have in this part is the kingdom begins when God's word takes root in our lives. So that's the key for that, is that it needs to take root and take effect, and we need to interact with it. We can't just leave it on the side or not come back to it. And our next one is we're looking at the parable of the wheat and the weeds. So this is, you can find it for verse 36 through 39. So Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seeds in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow seeds for your good seeds for your field? Where did the weeds come from?" And an enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pick them?" He answered, "No." He answered, because while they were pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow until harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat to bring it into my barn. So the kingdom of heaven, it exists alongside evil, but that's only until the final judgment. There's still people among, the kingdom of heaven is among us right now. For those that believe, we live that out as we follow God's word in our lives. But that doesn't mean that evil's going to stop right away. There will still be time. But at the end, once people have made their choices, they'll have to choose, are we going to follow God or are we going to reject him? And then at that time, God will, there will be, you'll either get to go to heaven or you'll get to go to hell. You'll get to be with God eternally or be apart from him eternally. And the good thing about God is that he's patient. He doesn't just separate them right away thinking, oh, some will go, some won't. But he gives people time because he desires that we reconcile with him, because he cares about each and every one of you and that he wants a relationship with us. The kingdom, while it's present here, it's not fully revealed. With the sin and the things that happen in this world, we cannot fully understand everything about the kingdom. But once that time comes, when Jesus returns and we are with him, we will know the full glory of the kingdom. So we have the kingdom that's here, but it's not yet complete. The kingdom, in Luke 17, 20 to 21, Luke tells us, the kingdom is in our midst. It is real, present, and growing, and it's active, starting in our hearts, working into the world, and heading towards the future fulfillment. So to summarize where we are with the kingdom so far, it is God's rule in us as we submit to him, God's presence among the people, God's work in the world, God's future victory, and the kingdom of God is ruling now and is restoring everything later. So let's look at the next part, is living out the kingdom priorities. So why should the kingdom be a priority? In our next passage is 31 through 32. So this is the parable of the hidden treasure. So it says this, the kingdom of God is like a hidden treasure in the field. When a man finds it, he hid it again and went in, and then in his joy went and sold everything he had and bought the field. So there's this man, he goes, he's working in the field, he finds something valuable, and so he sells everything he has to obtain it. The kingdom is worth more than anything that we could ever lose. Sometimes we worry about, I've heard a lot that someone, when you ask them about the kingdom, or why do you not follow God or choose to learn more about him, they're like, oh, I don't want to miss out on my life. They're like, I'll get around to it eventually, but they're afraid of missing out on what life has to offer. But the sad thing is that they don't see then the value of the kingdom, that God has so much in store for them. and they choose to go after what they see as valuable, and they're missing out on the most valuable thing, which is that the God of the universe created us to be in relationship with him, and he's the one that controls everything. He made everything, and he gave his only son so that he could die on the cross for our sins, because we deserve death because we are sinning against him. But he made a way that we could be redeemed and have relationship with him through Jesus. And he gives that gift to us. But sometimes we look at what we have around us and we have that as our priority. The next parable is the pearl of great price. So Matthew 13, 45 through 46. So again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So you have this merchant that goes, he sees this pearl, and he just values it with everything he has. He goes, sells everything he has, his comfort, his possessions, security, all for this one pearl. And this connects us then also to the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The kingdom has no rivals. There's nothing that we could think of that could rival what God has in store for us and what he has for us when we follow him. As I was thinking about this, and there's a question that I've heard people ask me before and that we debate on, it's if you could go back in time knowing what you know now, so you go back, if you had to take something with you, what would you take? And so often the common answers are, oh, you would take a sports history so you know what to bet on, or you'd take winning lottery numbers. So you're like, oh, if I know everything that's going to happen now, and if I go back, I'll be so successful. You would be successful in any prediction you would have. But we think about that. I was like, oh, if only we could do that. But we miss out on the opportunity we have now, that God has given us the greatest gift, and that is knowing him. And that we don't have to worry about what is in the future, what is to come. And all we have to do is choose to follow him and what he has in store for us. But sometimes we get so caught up in, okay, what could have happened or what could we get? But we miss out on what he has in store. So, then it's living out the kingdom priorities. So we've seen if the kingdom, why it's a priority, but then what do we do with that? What does that look like in our lives? So Matthew 13, 31 through 32, it's the kingdom, or it's the parable of the mustard seed. If you want a mustard seed to look at, the kids will have them at the end. There's plenty for everyone. You can pick one of those up. But it's just such a tiny seed. So the parable says this. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet it grows to the largest garden plant and becomes a tree for birds to perch on in its branches. The kingdom, it starts off very small, but it grows rapidly and with great power. Sometimes, lately I've really enjoyed watching videos and vlogs of people that are new in their faith, because they start out so small, not knowing much, but then as they seek God, you can see it start to grow and transform their lives. Many of you have probably had either people you know in your life that have had this, or you've gone through this as well, that as you seek God, you continue to grow and be transformed. The kingdom is like that as well, that as we seek God's word in our lives, we continue to grow in it, and it's a visible change that takes place. It's just so encouraging to see that the Holy Spirit is at work in each one of us for our redemption and transforming us. And we can see that process take place. The other parable that's right next to that one is in verse 33, which is the parable of the yeast. So it says, and he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So in this example, we see that the kingdom, it's more of a quiet change. It's a reaction that you can't really see happening, but over time it starts to change and grow. which is also like the kingdom and how it works in our lives, that we can't always see how it's changing or as it's growing when it's in our lives or in others' lives, but it's continuing to, be infectious and to change us and to transform us. But you cannot just have a little bit of change as well. Once that process starts, that God starts to work through your life and change you in amazing ways. Just with the yeast, if you just have a little bit of yeast, I don't know how much experience you have working with bread, but for when I worked with the pizza, I used to deliver pizzas and make it, but we'd set the yeast in just a little bit of it with a huge amount of dough because we were making the pizza for the whole day. And it would just continue to grow and grow and grow, and we had to stop it and separate and cut it all up, otherwise it would just continue to bubble over. But that's like the kingdom in our lives, is that it continues to grow and bubble and change us. So I want to return also to Matthew 6. What we're looking at is, don't worry, seek first. So Matthew 6 comes alive when we understand the kingdom, that it begins in our heart, it is present now, it will be completed in the future, it's worth everything, it transforms us, and it helps us grow. Jesus calls us to seek first the kingdom because he knows God will provide what we need. And with that, we need to consider what each of our own circumstances on what it is that worries us, what is it that we desire, where our loyalties lie. Are we too focused on our comfort or what's going on in the country as a whole? Or is it with the kingdom? We have the opportunity to see, okay, where are our hearts at? What are we doing? Are we choosing to just be stagnant, or are we choosing to grow deeper in the word? So the kingdom spreads through the word. The word, as we saw in the parable, is the seed. And the more we grow in it, the more we study it, the more we grow deeper. Yeah, so we also have the opportunity to share the word with others. So that's something that we can do actively, is share about what God has done for us in our lives. Share the Bible with people. That even if it's just a little bit, a glimpse here and there, if there's some sort of reception, you don't have to know everything. All you have to do is take that step out and choose to be faithful in what God has taught you. And the Holy Spirit is the one that makes the work. We can't force anyone to change. We can't, even if we explain something perfectly and we're like, oh wow, that was the greatest explanation of my life, it might not make a difference in them. But it's God and the Holy Spirit that works in you and in them in order to reveal the kingdom to them. So don't be afraid to speak out and to share what God is doing in your lives. That, and there was also a little bit of urgency to that as well. That it's not going to be this way forever. We're not always going to be here. Our lives are temporary. The world is temporary. And there will be a time when there's judgment at the end. But we can know this, that Jesus came. He lived a perfect life that we never could. That he died and the death that we deserve so that we could be forgiven and enter his kingdom. Everyone must choose if they're going to receive this gift of salvation, or if we're going to choose to reject him and have life apart from him. But God is patient. He desires all people to come to him. And we can take hope knowing that he's at work in our lives. So, if you want to follow Jesus, I say don't wait. Don't think that there's something else better that you can go after, or that, oh, we'll come to him later. But now is the time. Each day we get the opportunity to choose, are we going to follow him or are we going to not? And I just want to encourage you, if you have any questions or want to talk about it, there'll be people up here at front to pray with you, even if it's not about that. Or you can always seek out Pastor John or myself, or maybe if there's someone that you know that knows their scripture well and that will pray for you, at least have them pray for you. That we've been given the greatest gift, which is Jesus, and through his death and resurrection, we can have life. I just want to pray for you as we invite the worship team to come on up. Lord, thank you that we are here now in your kingdom, that you have brought your kingdom down to earth, that we can rely on you and your word, and that you transform us and change us, and that someday it'll be perfected. But for now, give us strength to endure all that comes against us, and that we reflect you to those around us, that we live out our call to be a light for you. I pray that you bring those that do not know you to you, and that they get to experience the great gift that is the gospel and what you've done. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.